Good evening, everybody. This is James McCanny with my Science Hour for would be the 16th of April. Yes, had to look at the calendar. So starting to forget what day it is. And that's not good. Okay. And 2020, that is this year, which is becoming, I thought last year was crazy. This one is bonkers off the charts. So anyway, I had a call. I was on John Moore's show yesterday. I encourage you to listen to that because I don't repeat what I give on other shows and other interviews, etc. So always a interesting discussion on this, the alleged coronavirus thing. And anyway, listen to that for further information. But a caller called in and asked about an October 18th coming up this fall. It's going to be an alignment, interesting alignment, not a spectacular one, but some what we call trigger, what I call trigger points, trigger mechanisms in the solar system, including our little planet Earth here, which is a speck of dust flying around in the middle of outer space out here around the sun. But October 18th, and I don't have, unfortunately, I used to have time to look at all this stuff and research it, etc. And so it's nice that I have fans that are writing in about this, that notice these things and say, hey, what about this? And so anyway, October 18th, let's look at what's going on here. And back up a couple days to October 16th, and Mercury, the little planet Mercury, Earth, and the planet Mars, which Mars, by the way, is not much bigger than Mercury. Mars is not a big planet. We kind of think of Mars as this Earth-like planet, but it's really not. It's pretty small. I mean, if you took Mercury, our moon, Earth, and Mars, and put them side by side, Mars would be bigger than Mercury in order of size. It would be Earth biggest, and Mars next, Mercury next, and our moon next. But Mars is pretty small. It's really, you know, and in terms of mass, as you reduce the radius of the planet, you get quite a bit less mass. And so anyway, Mars is not what you'd call the most massive planet around. So, by the way, when Venus came by thousands of years ago, it readily pulled off the atmosphere and oceans of Mars. It was just not much of a contest. As I explained in my work with the plasma discharge comet model, as soon as they make electrical connection, then the plasma is free to flow. Let's say that five times fast. Free to flow. Okay. I'm starting to get punchy here. Okay, so at any rate, the plasma, and that includes the atmospheres. The atmosphere of the comet is enormous, of course. And then the atmosphere of Mars would have been Earth-like, with a Earth-like atmosphere and oceans. And at the time, according to the legends, this is what they say, this is what you can read about, Mars was a blue planet, and it was inhabited by human beings, related to the human beings of this planet. And they bailed out, literally. The leader of Mars was named Baal. And that's, by the way, the central core theme of the old Flash Gordon movies. Remember, Ming the Merciless lived on Mars and had the death ray beam that would try and shoot to Earth and destroy, and Flash Gordon had to go save the planet, etc. But anyway, okay, so how did I get off on that? What's coming up here in October, Mercury is closest to the sun, and Earth and then Mars are going to be in an electrical alignment starting on the 16th of October. But what happens on the 18th, the actual new moon, Earth's new moon, is on the 16th of October also. But as I explain in my work, it's not the new moon that counts. It's the new moon passing, where the moon is out in interplanetary space, way out of our magnetic field, the bumper field that we have out in the plasma field in front of Earth is about 30,000 miles away. The moon in contrast, is around 250,000 miles away, around 250,000 miles away versus 33,000 miles for this bow shock, where the Earth's plasma magnetic field buffets the incoming solar wind. So the moon is way out there, and it has a comet-like effect, discharging the solar capacitor. And so when it gets between the sun and Earth, it's blocking basically the solar wind. And there's a channel of current that's coming around. But what happens is about 2 days later, the moon moves out of the way and the solar wind just comes pounding in. It compresses our magnetic field, our plasma magnetic field out there about 33,000 miles away, compresses it. That in turn compresses the Van Allen belts, which in turn compresses the upper ionospheric electrical currents, which power our jet streams and bring us the tropospheric weather that we experience down here on the surface of the Earth. So it's a trigger mechanism, but when you couple it with Mercury in alignment with the Sun and Mars, all of a sudden you get this cross solar system electrical current, which can be extensive. So that's a very interesting situation. It's not what I've seen bigger ones. If you were to include Jupiter in this mix, then you'd really have something. Now you got the big boy out there, which is, you know, discharging all the way out to Saturn on the far side and discharging all the way in to Mars on the inside. And then you line all those up, whoosh, you've got a party going on. But Jupiter is not involved this time. It's just Mercury, Earth, Mars, and then the Earth's new moon passing. So anyway, I was asked to comment on this, and then this person was trying to relate it to other things, and that's not something I do as far as, say, plans or anything else. And of course, all of the coronavirus stuff going on, I don't make relationships like that. But I'm just telling you the scientific part of it, that, yeah, October 18th, we could see some pretty good storms going around here. And of course, if there are any comets, even small comets that get into this mix, they tend to have a much larger electrical signature than the Earth and Mars and Mercury and the planets, except for Jupiter. Jupiter has a major league discharge. But some comet like Hale-Bopp would have had, in fact, a very significant discharge, probably equal to that of Jupiter. So anyway, but Hale-Bopp is long gone, by the way, not in the solar system anymore. It won't be back for another 2,600 years, so that's one less thing we have to worry about. But anyway, I was asked to comment on that, so that's the story. But I would say that's not a major, major event. But the other thing that can happen is, because it involves Mercury, Mercury moves very fast in its orbit. So it's kind of like one of those fast triggers. It's something that can snap, and all of a sudden, it happens very quickly. So when you get these rapid changes, in fact, the new moon passing is a relatively rapid change. The interface between Earth and Mars is rather slow changing, but these quick trigger mechanisms can also cause a little bit more activity simply because they happen quickly, kind of like throwing on a light switch. So what could also happen then is we could get some serious either auroras that could come down into the lower latitudes, and possibly weather issues. It's right at the end of the hurricane season, and so who knows? I mean, we could get potentially, let's take the upper limit. The lower limit is like not much happens. The upper limit is we could get a couple of hurricanes incited out of this, but they're not going to last long because the electrical connection is not going to last long. It's going to fizzle out relatively quickly because the new moon passing, boom, that's a day and it's over with. And then Mercury is a day and it's over with. So that leaves Earth and Mars kind of aligned, not really great electrical alignment, still aligned, but that's not a very strong one. So whatever is going to happen, if it happens, it's going to be relatively quick, not long lasting, unless there's some other factor that we don't know about now, like, say, a comet. And there's no, I don't know of any comets. I mean, it would be something that would be very, very rare for all of a sudden a comet to come into this mix and get involved also. So anyway, that's the end story. It could be relatively quick, but a spike where we could get some severe activity, storm activity for a little bit, and then whoosh, kind of all gone. Okay, let me talk about, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on coronavirus other than what you should be doing now. I talked about this last week. I'll go into a little more detail this week. And I'm going to kind of describe the ideal kind of homestead. And I think, for example, John Moore is an example, or other people. There are examples of people who have spent time in years building a place. And it takes, I'll tell you, I've worked in the woods. I have, for example, I'm pretty handy with tools in the woods, everything from hand tools up to machines. And I'll tell you, no matter what, it's a lot of work. It's a lot of work, you know, busting into an area and creating a homestead of some kind. It's not child's play. It's a lot of work. Then wood is heavy. And there's an old expression about firewood. Firewood warms you twice. Once when you cut it and chop it, and the other when you put it in the fireplace to burn. And that's really true, because when you're chopping wood, that's why the old log guys, the loggers and the woodsmen, as they called them, ate a lot of pancakes in the morning, a lot of carbohydrates, because it was a lot of physical work. And these people tended to be short, and not necessarily physically short, but wider than most people, because they, you know, a lot of muscles there, a lot of lifting weights, a lot of moving heavy things. Some of the strongest woodsmen, and these were real first-class woodsmen that I've known in my lifetime. When I was younger, these guys were in the same region as me. There's their dad and these. A couple young guys, they had logged oak trees up in northern Minnesota. That's one thing they did for a while, besides other activities, earning money, you know, a normal way, but they were logging oak. And that's probably one of the toughest woods around to, say, cut trees down and then cut them into logs and then lift them around with machines. And you're always dealing with stuff that's absolutely massive. So oak logging, there's people who do pine tree logging, and it's a very rigorous, let me tell you. I've cut down a lot of trees because I built my own house out of trees, built my own cabin, etc. And it's a lot of work. Now, to clean the tops and get them in condition and debark them, and wow, it's a lot of work. So anyway, what does it take to have a homestead? So you're better off buying something that's already got some kind of place to live in that you can make do, and with a lot of time just go in and clean it up. Just cosmetics, a little paint, a little, putty. Whatever, plug up the holes, paint it, make it look nice so the bugs don't come in, keep the critters out, etc. And don't have animals in the house, dogs, cats, etc. Not a good idea to have in the house, because they can carry diseases that don't bother them but can affect humans. So the animals outside, especially if you got kids. And for adults, too. There are serious adult diseases that you can get from animals. So the animals, all the animals stay outside. They have a place to sleep. Fix up a place for them, they'll be fine. They're designed to live outside. And but anyway, back to a homestead, some of the very first things you have to do are plant a garden. And now is springtime, which I expressed before. We're right in the very early spring. So now is the time to get yourself prepared. And the other thing is, you know, after a hard day's work, sit down. And this is what the pioneers did. You know, I'll be honest with you. There's some good things that are coming out, thinking on the bright side, of being an optimist here. There are some good things that are coming out of all this coronavirus shutdown stuff. Number one, the schools got closed. To me, that's a good thing. They should have been closed. They shouldn't ever open up again. They're putting 5G into all the schools. Universities spent a lot of time and money of students, and you're not getting a real education. A real education is where you learn about the real world, how the real world works. I love that movie with Roger Dangerfield, and he becomes a student. I think it's his son or his daughter goes to college. And so anyway, he sits in on this economics course, and the economics teacher is teaching about supply and demand and all this stuff. And Rodney Dangerfield gets up and he says, "This is not how it works." He says, "You know, if you want something, you pay off the politician." Yeah. And you bribe people, and, you know, if you need something, you know, you slip some money under the table. That's how real business works. And it's kind of funny because the, you know, of course, the students are looking at him like this is some kind of crazy guy. But that's the truth. That's the way the real world works, real business. Real business people don't follow college education economics courses. So anyway, got a little bit off in a tangent there. But the schools closing, universities closing, I couldn't think of anything better. What a bunch of useless trash. I mean, there might be some good areas of university. I would say mathematics is a good area, but the mathematicians are all cloistered, sorry to say. But mathematics is something you need a good teacher, and a lot of these, especially colleges, universities, have very good math teachers. So that's unfortunate. I would say some of the basic science and engineering is very good education. But too much of the college is just fluff, you know, especially when you get into so-called liberal arts. But I'm very happy with my education. I think I got my education before the fluff showed up. But at any rate, universities are going to have to change their tune. They're going to have to start teaching real stuff to, you know, to kids so that they come out of there as functional adults in this world we live in. You know, too many people in the United States, young people grow up, they've never been to a foreign country, really. They may have been to a condo down in spring break down in Cancun. Well, that ain't a foreign country, believe me. So my estimation is instead of school and college, before people ever go to college, and I think too many people just sit in college and take notes and they want all their interest in getting their latest term paper in or passing the latest test, so they can get to the weekend party. Well, you know, that's extended babysitting to me. And it's not real education. So, you know, in a sense, I think it's a good thing that schools are out of session, because parents are having to start to turn and possibly questioning this, you know. And the other thing is people were just running around like with their heads cut off, running around like crazy every day, and now they have to stay in one spot. And it's, for some people, in fact, and for most people, it's probably a good thing that you just got to sit down. You can't go anyplace. You got to be there with your family, and you got to sit down and talk, and maybe you get a chance to get to know your kids, Because as soon as you let them into that school, the school takes over your life and their life, and all of a sudden they pop out of high school and you go, what happened? I thought I just walked in and they were in kindergarten. What the heck happened here? Well, that's because the school took over their lives and your life for a dozen years, and you didn't know it. So it's time to maybe take back education as something that the parents have to take part in. They have to understand what's going on, not just pay the tax bill to pay the public school to educate your kids, because they're not getting educated, as they say. So anyway, back to the homestead, besides physically what you need, what do you need physically? You need energy, you need water, you need food, you need a shelter. You need to keep warm. You have to have a place that's really out of the weather, depending on what the weather conditions are like. If there's anything, especially if you're moving into a new area, be aware of, you're going to have to learn about the dangers. There's dangers out there, no matter where you are. If you're down south, there could be red fire ants, which I've been attacked by. Whoosh, those, you don't want those, or bees. Or snakes, or other things that you can get by touching the wrong plant. You have to become aware of this stuff. You don't want to learn about this the hard way. A little cut on your finger can be a major thing if you're out in the middle of nowhere, so you have to be careful. But, learning how to use tools, and for me, I didn't have anybody really to teach me a lot of things about in the woods. I kind of had to pick up an axe and, okay, this is what you do here. And then I had people advise me, and I was smart enough to go, when it got to the machines, the machinery end of it, I went and got people to show me how to use them and how to work them and everything. And I had some, luckily had some good mentors who really showed me the tricks on using the machine type of things. And axes, etc. And, you know, a lot of people get hurt in the woods because they don't know what to do. They're not aware, and like they don't really understand, what does it take to cut down a tree? Well, it's cutting, anytime you cut a tree, I don't care how many you've cut down or how good you are or how smart you are, how much experience you have, every tree is different, and every tree can be a potential fatal injury or very damaging injury. And the last thing you need in a time of trying to prepare is, especially for an adult or a grown child of some kind, to be injured working in the woods. So you got to be aware of everybody else. You can't have somebody there goofing around or talking about something else. You got to be, it's serious business out there. This is very serious business, trying to cut down trees and move things. And don't try and overdo it. If you can't do it, leave it. A tree can be sitting up and you're cutting it, and all of a sudden it decides to shift or kick back or something. Things can be dangerous. So and don't work alone in the woods. Have somebody with you. And there's a lot of things that all of a sudden your family unit has to become also your work unit. And so men have to do things that women do, and women have to do things that men do. It's a real change of lifestyle. So, yeah, you need the energy, water, food, shelter, and then you're constantly improving things. It's good if you're in any kind of climate in the United States, it's good to have a greenhouse. The other thing the greenhouse does is it protects if there's really a very hard rain or harsh weather of some kind. It protects your plants so they're not destroyed, because you're talking about growing food that you have to eat. This is a lot different than having a garden and, you know, maybe you get something out of it and maybe you don't. We're talking about very difficult conditions. And how many acres do you need per person to grow enough food for, say, a family to have enough over the winter, to have enough seeds left over? This is a difficult thing to do. And by the way, as
long time ago, I invented something. It's called the WeCalendar Sun Start Clock. The full name is the Emergency Survival. Say this over again. The Emergency Survival WeCalendar Sun Start Clock. And a lot of times you lose track of the time and the months and etc. And one of the key issues in any type of agricultural situation is knowing exactly when to plant. And so the old scenario is that you come out on a nice, say, March day, and it's a beautiful, warm, sunny day, and you think, oh, this is it. This is springtime. And you go out and you plant all your seeds. And, you know, they start to grow, and all of a sudden the weather turns ugly again because you planted too soon. The cold weather moves in, it snows for a couple of days, you get a freeze, and it kills all your plants, destroys all your seeds. You got to know when to plant. And for things like there's spinach, they will survive cold. Things like turnips and rutabagas and radishes will survive cold. Corn will not. So you have to understand when to plant certain things. And there again, that's why you have a greenhouse, is so that you can cover at night. You cover them and then take the cover off in the daytime so they get nice warm sun and warm up the beds where the dirt pulls the heat in from the sun. And then you cover them so that it, when these plants are young yet, they will not get too cold at night and stunt their growth, etc. So, and knowing that which plants you should plant real soon. In the springtime, back in the old pioneer days, they had certain plants that they actually would plant in the fall, and they would start coming up. As soon as that first ray of sun would come in, they would start warming up and growing, and these were in the form of root plants. And one of the more famous ones was various forms of radish, because you could eat the greens on top and you could eat the little bulb once it started to grow. And that give you your first shot of green food after a long winter. Anyway, if you have a greenhouse, you can extend a month on both sides, the fall and the winter. The spring and the fall. Just a few tips. And then, of course, having chickens, a chicken coop, a place where the chickens can stay, lay eggs, convert bugs into chickens. So these are just a few tips, but I'm just giving you kind of some basics. But I'll tell you, I'll be honest with you, and I would also encourage people, I'm not giving advice. I'm just giving some well-rounded tips. But if you're living in a city, I'm not going to recommend that people leave. So for some people, you're better off possibly staying there because hoping things get back to normal. Who knows? Who knows? Maybe Trump can pull this. It's like being in a big airplane in a nosedive. Really hard to pull it out. But, I mean, Trump is, I think, getting the wind that Fauci and all these other people are criminals. And they certainly don't have anybody's best interest. And they're associated with Gates and UNICEF and Planned Parenthood and all the other demonic organizations, the United Nations, et cetera, that control this planet, or trying to control this planet, and get people back to normal living conditions. It might happen. I don't know. And maybe the economy will recover. I don't predict the future. But I can tell you something, that if you have kids, you have to very seriously consider not sending them back to any school, any public school for sure, and private schools maybe, if the people in the private schools really understand what's going on. Because most private schools are run by a bunch of loudmouth, boisterous, airhead people. It's unfortunate, but it's really true. And that, by the way, is why I started my education program that's in my paid cast. And right now, I don't remember what session I'm in right now. It might be about 40-something out of 100. So I'm getting close to halfway through it, and it's rather intensive. You can go and see the subject, the topics, on my webpage. Just click on the Paidcast link, and it shows you all the topics that I cover. And the Paidcast go all the way back to August of 2016 to give you an idea of when these things began. But also, I believe the first one was in July of 2016. So, I mean, we're talking years every week. You know, that's 52 sessions a year of information that you will not find anyplace else. For $3.95 a month, that's probably one of the best deals this side of the Milky Way galaxy. And right now I'm involved in a 100 session set of education courses, and that will expand. But also in there, in past episodes, I go through my books, and I take them apart and give additional lectures on the books. And so for people who are homeschooling, there's a wealth of information. And it's not just science. It's not just comet stuff. It's about understanding how the world works. Besides, it's understanding where you fit into this whole thing, that you are not just a... here's what they teach you in public school. The first day you walk in there, they start to drill into you that you have somehow evolved from a monkey. And that's what they're trying to teach you, and that you're just a bit smarter monkey than the ones out there in the jungle. And this is part of evolution. This is part of cosmological evolution, etc. It's really drilled into the kids right from the very beginning. And since they don't teach you about God or any higher entity in the universe, that this just all happened at random and it started in a big bang, and that's the story they're trying to pound down your kids' throats. Which is, so what does it do? It takes away your kids' belief in themselves as an individual. If you're just descended from the monkey and you're just another animal, then the kid sitting next to you is just a monkey too, just a little bit smarter one than the ones out in the jungle. And that's what they're teaching your kids. They're teaching the little girls that they're boys, the little boys are girls. I mean, these schools are really, really, let me express that, really, really, really screwed up. Let me tell you, I would not send my kid to a modern school. You know, and now they're putting 5G in the school. You know, you talk about the mass shooting stuff that goes on. A lot of psychologically disturbed kids, because what do? They get kids into school and they go, well, little Johnny here has a certain problem. We better get him on some drugs. And they send him off and they get him on some kind of, you know, psychotherapeutic drugs. And, you know, it goes downhill from there. That's when, you know, and the kids, a lot of them are damaged, vaccine damaged. And that's something, too, that's coming out all over the place. And interestingly enough, Northern Italy, now this is an interesting fact. Northern Italy was rebelling against the Italian government on the issue of vaccines. Who ends up with all the coronavirus in huge quantities? Northern Italy. Isn't that interesting? China was having some revolution problems too, as was Hong Kong and other areas. And all of a sudden, gee, you just don't hear about that anymore. So the whole vaccine thing, along with schools, where the schools demand that your kids be vaccinated with up to 69 different vaccinations so they can be in the dang school. let me tell you, what is the school doing force vaccinating kids? The measles and the mumps and all that stuff was eradicated long before vaccinations ever came into vogue. There's never been a study that shows that vaccinations work, let alone that they can be given two or three at a time or five at a time, because you get one shot, you get DPT. And in Africa, they have studies showing that all the damage that has been done to kids through vaccinations. And they've thrown out the Bill Gates and his vaccine companies in a lot of places because of the absolute damage that they can see is being done. But in the good U.S. of A., again, they call it SIDS, Sudden Infant Death Syndrome. Nice, cute little name for babies just dying one day, a week or two after they had their DPT shot. And autism and all the other things, allergic to peanuts and respiratory problems, etc., going on and on. The studies that are coming out now are showing that this is vaccination damage. Lots of medical professionals are stepping up to the line and saying this. So there are 100 reasons to one not to send your kids back to school. And it would be great to see these schools fail, because there are a lot of people have put a lot of money into it. All the buildings are very nice, but the education that's going on inside is really corrupt. And what they want to do is take this generation of kids and bring them into the very well-defined New World Order. That's what they want, because they know that there's a lot of adults like me and like John Moore and other people, hundreds and thousands, millions of adults today, they're not going to be able to change, because they were taught how to learn and think when they were little. But they want to take the kids today, give them a bunch of unrelated things, facts that they call education that aren't even facts. None of it, the vast majority of it, isn't even true. And then the only thing the kids can do is regurgitate back what's on the test. And if they repeat what the teacher says, they get an A. That's not education. That's garbage. Garbage in, garbage out. And that's what you get. So after 12 years of education, you got kids that come out that don't know anything, can't do anything. So that's what you get by sending your kids to a public school. And even if they pass the SATs and get into college, you're going to get a lot more of the same. So it's really unfortunate. The educational system is so broken, and I've been in it on both sides, and I have a good result of my education and a very strict education, I might add. There was nothing easy about my education, but too many times today, education is a powder puff education, and the idea that also that you should give free education to everybody, university education, that all that's going to do is make everybody's university education that earned it absolutely worthless, because it's like riding a bicycle. Oh, you can ride a bicycle too? Well, everybody can ride a bicycle. What's your specialty? What makes you riding your bicycle so special? And that's what's going to happen with if they give free university plus like a lot of giveaways. Who's going to pay for this? And you know what's going to happen? The universities are going to love this. They're going to jack their prices up to the ceiling because they know that you got to pay. That's what's going to happen. And, it's a racket. It's a racket. University racket is just like the tennis racket, but, it's kind of like the old protection racket, where you need a college education to get a good job, but really a lot of people with college educations are not getting good jobs. So how do you become an educated person in the real world? Well, here's what I suggest to people, and people sometimes come to me for advice with asking about their kids, what their kids should do, or the kids come to me, and especially when I was in education, and I told them, first of all, when you get out of high school, go to a third world country. I mean, a real third world country. Don't live at Cancun at the beach. Go to a third world country somewhere far away and see how the other half lives and live with them and for a while and get a taste of what it's like out there. And when you come back, you're going to have a real different attitude because it's not like the good old U.S. of A. where things are nice and you go to the grocery store and all the food is nice in a row. No, it's real different, believe me. And so that's the first thing. And then come back and start a business. And when you earn enough money in your business to pay for your college, then go to college. That's my advice. And at that point, you'll probably choose not to go to college. Or if you do, what I tell people is then go to college to party, because that's where all the fun is. But don't go to college to learn something or get a career. That's the wrong decision. That's a lot of wasted money. And that's literally what I tell people to do. If you create your own business, by the time you're in high school, in today's world, you should have your own online business, period. You should be selling something. Doesn't matter if you make a lot of money. Just learn the ropes. Learn how to get on the internet. Learn how to do advertising. Learn how to turn a profit, how to reinvest that profit. And, what sells? How can you market things? And so by the time you're out of high school, you've got a business of some kind, because the future is in internet marketing. Even right now, I'll be honest with you, the people that are making money and that are not affected by the coronavirus much are the people doing business online. You don't need a storefront. There's no social distancing on the internet. You know, so I mean, get a business, get it going, understand business. And then when you earn enough extra cash you got sitting around that you can go pay for college, then go to college. And what I tell people is then you go to college to party. You don't go there to learn, because that's where a lot of cool kids are, you know, and you can go and have a good time at college. That's what college is for in my book today. Unless you're studying mathematics or physics or hard science or engineering, pretty much everything else is fluff. The things that are making a real comeback today are trade schools, where you go and you spend time learning a trade. And there your time is concentrated on learning skills and the skill sets that you need to do certain trades. And I'll be honest with you, most tradesmen make a lot more money than people who went to college. And so anyway, that's just some small advice. Okay, I'm going to switch gears a little bit, and I'm going to make this brief. I'm just going to remind you, and most people that listen to my show are well aware of this, the products that I have, and I didn't just kind of haphazardly get some products together and sell on my webpage. They're there for a reason, and now is the time when these become the kind of products that everybody needs. Everybody needs. Okay, so start out, I'm still selling the Numana food and freeze-dried food, which is the top of the line. And those orders might be weeks out from being delivered, maybe some cases a month, sometimes longer. So if you buy some of the freeze-dried food, just make the purchase and get back and wait, because those orders do get filled. They all are in order. And it's just one of those industries right now, there's a lot of demand. So don't buy something if you want it next week, and then you're going to write and be a pain in the butt writing emails every day. Please don't do that. Put your purchase in and wait. And when your turn comes up, you will get your products. And the time waits might grow in the future. So even though you waited, you should have done this last year. Put your order in and get in line. That's what I'm saying. Next are my water filter products. I'm the only person right now selling water filter products. Everybody else is out because they get them from China and India. So they can't get any more products. They might have a few on the shelf someplace. But for me, the factory in the United States is churning out the water filter elements. We're all out of the stainless steel containers. We stopped selling the plastic container. So we don't have any containers. But what I tell people, I've actually had a couple recently that have done this. I tell them, get some food grade plastic containers. They could be 2.5 gallons. They could be 5 gallon containers, but food grade. And all you do is you drill a hole in the bottom of one and you drill a hole in the top of the other one. And that's your water filter. The only thing you need then is a spigot, which I sell. We have those in stock. the spigots, and then the water filter elements, which I sell, and we're actively making and shipping those. Although those are out probably 2-3 weeks also. So don't, please do me a favor. Don't put in an order and then start emailing. Where's my order? Where's my order? Gee, can they tell me when my order's going to come? Like, we ship all of the orders. We ship all of them in the order that they come in. And we never can plan. How do you expect me to go through all the orders that came prior to yours and estimate the time that it's going to take us to fulfill those orders and then give you a date? In the world of today, that's not possible. So don't be a nervous customer, please. Even if you order from any product from anybody else today, don't be one of these nervous customers. Oh, my product didn't come today. I better write another email. Please, you know, put your seatbelt on. Just relax. We ship all the orders. I've been doing this for 20 years. I've never missed an order yet. So just relax. If you put in an order, you know, just hang tight because you'll get your order. And there's a demand on me now because I'm the only guy on the planet that I know of that has water filter elements. So put in your order, get in line, and we'll ship them. As, believe me, we don't sit on orders. We don't sit there and go, well, this order came along. Let's just not send it today. No. Do you think I do that? No. We ship out as fast as we can. And, you know, all of these orders coming in from different places, and we get behind. A couple weeks ago, we were actually up to almost only a week delay in shipping from the time the orders came in, but that changed. All of a sudden, the pack of orders came in again. So anyway, put in your order for the water filter elements. If you don't have a container of some kind, go out and get yourself the two containers, the food-grade plastic containers, same size with caps. Make yourself a container. Drill a hole for the spigot. Goes down in the bottom. And wait till your filters and spigots come so that you know how big to drill the holes. But that's it. That's all a water filter is. And if it's stainless steel, that's nice. But the food-grade plastic, I've been using some for decades like that. And they're perfectly fine. Okay, so anyway, the water filter stuff. Okay, then the wing generator. All of the things are in the place for the wing generators to be ordered and delivered. So go to the webpage, and it's just really we're picking, selecting customers who have capabilities. It's better if you can weld and you have the ability to work with cement and things like that. It's better, but we're trying to find people who are good customers and good locations with good wind, etc. And you know, putting through the orders because everything, all of my ability to make the wing generators and get them shipped is there. Also, the shipping containers, which believe me, you do not buy a used shipping container and then cut holes in it or think you're going to live in this thing or something like that. Here's what goes on with shipping containers. When they get done using them, they let's say a shipping container gets back to where some port. They go in there and they spray poison into that thing, and it gets into the corners and cracks and crevices and into the wood in the floor, and that stuff is coming out for years, and it'll kill anything, including you. You don't want to be in one of these containers that's been used. So my containers are brand new, never used, never been fumigated, and they're painted at the factory. And if you want doors and windows, we cut them in and reinforce them to your specifications at the factory. And so when you get it, it's brand new, the doors work. You know, that's the other thing about a used container. Even if it's used once, the door probably got slammed into something. The doors don't open properly. You're constantly fighting with that. You know, they might be dented underneath. You don't know. You don't know what you're getting, even though it might look good in a picture. And you can get those cheap. You know, if that's what you want, if you want something cheap, don't buy from me. But my shipping containers are first run shipping containers, brand new, never used. And then when they come to your site, you put it there, and there it is. It's ready to go. You have put it up on some blocks. Maybe you can get fancy, put a cement pad. Maybe you put a little roof over it. Maybe you put five of them together and build a nice roof over the top I saw a container building the other day, two 40-foot containers that were spaced about 10 feet apart, and the guy was building a roof and a second floor on top, and then a roof above that. So very nice, very sturdy, you know, withstand a hurricane. They're hurricane rated, you know. So anyway, the shipping containers. Then my paid cast are educational material, and also my Patreon channel there. And oddly enough, people have been buying carrot bars lately. It's something I really rarely mention, but you can buy gold in little pieces with carrot bars. And so people have been doing that. People are out there searching again for this type of thing. So a long time ago, I started building, you know, for a long time, I just sold water filters. And slowly it built up. Then I picked up the water from the air machines. And that was about the same time I was commercializing the wing generator. And then I entered the XPRIZE. All of you remember that. And fared quite well, I would say, with the Technology Innovation Achievement Award from XPRIZE. So in the very real sense of the word, I'm a winner of an XPRIZE, a very elite group of people in the world. So, and I think it's rather comical when you go to, say, Wikipedia or one of these web pages where they try and badmouth me. It's really strange because they make no account of all of the varied things I've done in my life, which, you know, but that's the whole issue with me is that I cross them on so many paths, the CIA and the elite. I cross them on so many paths, it's not funny. And so they can't mention anything of my past that has nothing to do with the comet stuff or things like that. Because it's very clear, I'm successful in so many different fields, not the least of which is the prime number stuff, which is totally diverse from anything anybody else has ever done in history. It's just, you know, they can't manage somebody like me, who's honest, who basically finds my own way, pays my own way. I pay for my own airtime with the products that you buy on my webpage. So, you know, I don't have sponsors. That's one of the main ways they did away with a lot of talk show hosts in the past. They'd come in, they'd build them up. They say, we're going to really make your show big. They come in, they get them all sponsored up. And then they come in and say, we're going to shut you down unless you talk about what we want to talk about. And I never did that. I never played that game. So I've been a hard target to get to since I'm independent. And anyway, they don't like people like that, certainly not in the science world where they literally control everybody and everything and the dialogue, and they control the Tier 1 science, and they control the Tier 2, Carl Sagan, Neil deGrasse Tyson, Tier 2, if not Tier 3, the spokesperson people I would classify as Tier 3 because they stopped doing any real research and got their flapper going and making money. That's Tier 3 science. That's just textbook repeater, or what I call textbook genius. People that can repeat a textbook and get paid for it, that's Tier 3 science. So Carl Sagan, Neil deGrasse Tyson, welcome to the world of being a Tier 3 scientist. If you hear some noise in the background, I'm not in my nice studio this week. And so there might be a little, what you might call extra noise or something. But also, just here's my webpage for those of you who are not familiar with it. jmccsci.com, 7 letters, JMCC, S as in Sam, C as in Charlie, I as in Indigo.com, jmccsci.com. So go there. All my shows are archived there, by the way, past shows. And a lot of information there. And go to the subpages, go down. Somebody that really explores that page, there's literally 8 gigabytes worth of material there. Massive web page. You've probably never been on a web page that has anywhere near a gigabyte, let alone 8 gigabytes of information. So a lot of information there. And once you get to learn the pattern, it's well organized. And, you know, like I say, all my past radio shows, the ability to get to the paid cast, the Patreon channel, wing generator, shipping containers, water filters, new mana food, all of that stuff is necessary for your well-being. And so, you know, that's what I wanted to do. My main goal was to solve the world energy and water problems. And that's what I have. I've been talking to some people recently, and they're very familiar with world energy and water problems. And they see what I've put together. This is something, once again, you won't find any place else on the planet. With all the engineers that work for GE or Siemens or Vesta, or the engineers that worked on all kinds of other things, nobody on the planet has put together a package like what I present, because I'm an independent scientist. I know what I'm doing. I'm a good engineer. I understand how engineering is done, that you start with a functional specification for something, which has nothing to do with design or hardware or software or anything else. It's simply a specification of what this thing is supposed to do when you get done. Nobody does that anymore. Everybody just slam, bam, put something together so you can get out and sell it. And they don't care. They'll as long as you can get the government to subsidize it, that then they're happy. And there's a lot of gnashing of teeth right now in the so-called alternative energy industry, because they're getting their cut of the pie. Well, their cut of the pie really was their whole business, because they never had a business. They never had a product. Three-blade wind turbines and solar panels are not viable products. They never were. They never will be. And so now they're all squawking because they're not getting their government subsidies. And they're all going out of business. If they had a product, imagine now more than ever, energy is something that is going, you know, the cost of energy. I just saw an article where they're canceling $6 billion in rate increases across the country because the people can't pay it. Well, if solar and three-blade wind turbines were the save-all, they should be coming in. They should be such a good deal that they're putting them in mass, and the companies should be making money hands over fist because it's such a good product. But they're not. They still need 30% of their revenue, in other words, all of their profit and more, has to come from you, the taxpayer, that just gives them the money because the product doesn't work. So anyway, I could go on and on about that one. So I hope that people, for long-term listeners and people who are new to this show, understand that you're getting information here that you're not going to hear anywhere, any other place. So go to my webpage, jmccsci.com. Check it out. Check out all the important products that are there. And remember, this is I do this out of interest. This is James McKinney. This is my Science Hour. And as always, we are at the crossroads. Good night.